Good to see you here today. I hope you've had a great afternoon in your home and in your house and been able to get a little bit of rest time this evening, hopefully. And we'll go ahead and get started. I know that this is kind of a, I guess you want to say, I don't mean it the way it's going to sound, maybe an off week, kind of a little bit with Thanksgiving coming, and then you look forward to Christmas and all that other stuff. And so during these particular times, we're just doing the best we can with what we got. So bear with us. And Wednesday night, I will tell you, we're not going to be in the building, but I will be online for those of you that have computer and can. I'll be doing a Thanksgiving devotion at 7 o'clock on Wednesday from a disclosed location, probably called my house, but we'll be there. Let's pray. Ask God to help us this evening. Our Father, we come before you this evening to love you and to honor you and to praise you, Father God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time that you've given us to come here tonight. We know, God, tonight that you're the sovereign Lord God. And Lord, without you, we cannot do anything at all. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor and thanksgiving. I pray, God, that you'd have your way in the service this evening, that you'd touch every heart, that you'd touch every life, that you'd meet every need. Father, we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this is that time in the service that we would normally sing a few songs. Sister Nora was not feeling well this morning. And I knew it. I could tell it when I looked at her. I knew she wasn't feeling well. And so I told her, I said, hey, don't push it. I understand. We got it covered. So anyway, she's not able to be here tonight. So we're gonna again, do the best we can with what we got this evening. And I wanted to show you something. Now, my friend TJ up there, he might need to look over top of the balcony for a minute. I want to show him something. You ready up there, old boy? Now, me and him, he's of the new school, okay? He's of the younger generation. We teach each other a lot. I could not do what he's done up there and how all the media comes together and all of that. I was telling Sherry about this yesterday. So one time he had his iPad up here and he had his message on the iPad, and every time I've ever tried to use my iPad to preach off of it, the crazy thing goes off in the middle of my preaching because the timer's set to go off after so long, and then I would be lost. I thought, I ain't doing that. Maybe you could adjust my settings on that. Stay on, you know, you got settings on those things that stay on or whatever. Well, so anyway, long story short, on the third month, which was March, the fourth day, this notebook I've got in front of me, this don't mean anything much probably to you, but it means a lot to me. This notebook, it's got March 2020, all right? 3/4/20. Now, that's the Sunday before March the 8th. Well, in March the 8th, we had a major adjustment. We preached March the 8th, and then March the 19th come along. Here's March the 18th, the title of the message that I did probably online on a Wednesday night. The title of the message was "Now What?" with a question mark. Above this, it says, my notes, week of March the 15th, 2020. And then I wrote myself some notes. That's when COVID hit. Then we got told that we couldn't do the things we've been doing on a normal basis. So from the time that started until tonight. Now I'm going to show you something. I ran out of room. I even wrote over here. So this whole notebook is filled with everything I've preached without me going to little pieces of paper that I've done a lot of Wednesdays and Tuesdays and Fridays off of. She said, you need to write the pandemic message outline book right there. That's it, right there. And so you say, well, what in the world has that got to do with this service tonight? Not a lot of anything, other than the fact that from then until now, I've pretty well been able to get, hey, if you lose that computer, oh boy, you've lost everything you've done for 8 months. I've still got mine. I'm trying to teach you there, son. Listen to me. I'm trying to teach you. So therefore, I done that just for my friend TJ up there. And so anyway, this morning we talked about heaven. I hope you gleaned from that and enjoyed that a little bit. And we talked about where in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in the middle part of that, the Bible says that eye have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I want to just jump right on into this evening. I'm not going to try to sing and all that this evening. We'll sing another day. But I got to thinking about heaven and all of that. And again, there is a lot of stuff in the Bible when you start talking about the things of heaven. And so this evening, I wanted to actually jump over into, again, Revelation. Let me get my other notes up here. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 9. I wanted to pick up there and just share some things with you. Probably not going to be real preachy tonight in a long, long, drawn-out thing. But again, some things I wanted to share with you in this evening service. Again, I say that it's not going to be that long, and I've probably got a half a dozen scriptures or more that I'd like to get to over the next little bit. But before I preach, I covet your prayers. So just stretch your hand this way and pray for me that God would use us during this time to speak to our hearts. Father, we do love you tonight, and Lord Jesus, we do thank you. We do thank you, Father, that when we gather together in your name, you said in your word, Father God, that you would be there in our midst. So, Father, I thank you, God, that you are here with us even right now. So, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just help us to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and to do your will. Holy Spirit, talk to us tonight. Let us see what you want us to see. Father God, that you would just open up the eyes of our understanding, God, that's been darkened by the things of this world. Father, we love you and we praise you and we honor you. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. In Revelation, again, chapter number 21, I want to just pick up, I'm not going to take the time to read a lot of this in the beginning, but if you pick up on verse number 9, we see that John, once again, is going to give us a synopsis, and he's going to give us an overview of this beautiful land of heaven. Again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but anyway, you can go there, and he talks about the walls and the building and the walls of jasper and pure gold and so forth and so on, and talks about the streets of pure gold and how that they're so pure that they're transparent as glass. And then he talks about the different gates of the city. One person said, I want to go to heaven just to see a pearl as big as a gate. And one person said, hey, I want to make it to heaven just so I can escape hell. I mean, I've been told stuff like that. And the thing about it is, in all reality, we ought to want to go to heaven because we want to see Jesus. We want to see the Lamb of God, the one that died, the one that, I'm talking in this microphone and it's off. I'm talking into this one. I'm sorry, I was trying to get close to it. But we want to go to heaven to see the Lamb of God. And in this, we can see that where in verse number 22, we're going to skip way down to verse 22. And it says there in the scripture, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 23 says, if you look at that, and it says here in the word, and that city, or the city, had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the Lamb, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth did bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by the day, or there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations to it. Again, in verse number 27, the Bible says, and there shall be no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a couple of verses of Scripture that I wanted to talk about this evening that's mentioned here. He says, the writer John writes this in verse 23, and the city had no light of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Years ago, you may not know the name, and you may not know the name John Bevere. I heard John Bevere preach years ago, and John Bevere's written a lot of books, a lot of stuff I've read years ago. He was giving us a description of the light and the glory of Jesus. And one of the scriptures that he actually was using when Paul the Apostle was on the road to Damascus, we all know that. And he said that he has been himself to Israel. He himself said that even as, he said, if you do not have sunglasses on there, that the sun is so bright, the natural sun, that it actually is blinding to your eye. Well, when John Bevere went on to actually preach this particular message years ago, probably 20 years ago, he began to use the analogy of the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ. That when Paul the Apostle was on the road to Damascus, that when Paul was there, we can see where Paul actually wrote this scripture about what happened. And he says in verse number 3 of Acts chapter 9, and as he journeyed, there came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. And in this particular message that I heard John Bevere preach years ago, he said that the glory of Jesus was revealed to Paul on the road to Damascus on that day. That what Paul seen was not the glory of the sun. Can I tell you from what my understanding was there? That the light of the sun is dim in comparison to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but when we read this scripture in Revelation where the Bible says that there will be no need for the sun nor the moon to give their light because that Jesus is there himself, that there is a transformation takes place in the life of an individual who has an encounter with the light. An encounter with the light will change your life forever. When Paul wrote this, we see this in verse number 4, and he says this, he says, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Again, Paul says, when his name was Saul, he said, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? The Lord said unto him, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It's very important this evening that you and I understand the need of the light in our lives today. We can see the Bible lets us know several places that we want to turn to. The Bible lets us know that outside of Jesus Christ himself, you and I are blind. That you and I, we walk in what we know to be called the darkness of this age and the darkness of this world, if you will. The Bible says, as Jesus, it was prophesied about Jesus' birth, how that Jesus would come and that Jesus would be the one that would light the way of the Gentile, that Jesus would be the one to show us the way. I'm glad that Jesus, and I'll get to it in a minute, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible says, if you look at that, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So Jesus today is still needed for men, women, boys, and girls to have the way lighted in front of them. Bible reminds us in here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 16, said that the people that which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to that, and to them which sat in the region of shadow of death, it says light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, when we look at Jesus, we see several things about Jesus. We see this in John chapter number 1, as I just mentioned to you. We see when John began to give the revelation of Jesus. And let me back up for just a second. That men today still walk in darkness. That Jesus is still necessary to be the light in men's lives today in order for men to be, to expel the darkness and for men to be able to get out of the darkness. Can I tell you that it is still going to take the power of Jesus Christ today? Could you imagine your life today without Jesus? I don't even want to begin to think about my life today without Jesus. I do not want to even do that. But we see when John described heaven, the same John, he said here in John chapter number 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The same was in the beginning with God. Let us make man in our image. In the beginning, we can look all the way back when the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord brooded, hovered over the face of the earth. And then he said, let there be light, and there was light. So God is the creator of light. Verse number 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life. Somebody say life. And the life was the light of men. I remember in my own life, and I've told you this many times, that one of the things that I greatly enjoy about preaching is this, that when you've preached a message about Jesus and you talk to somebody about discipleship, and their life goes from a life of hopelessness and a life of despair and a life that seems to be in disarray, that all of a sudden there's a glimmer and a shimmer of hope and a shimmer of light comes into their eyes, and all of a sudden that life that was hopeless, that life that was without hope, and that life that seemed to be on the way to a devil's hell, all of a sudden the glorious light of the gospel shines upon their pathway, and all of a sudden the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, and they hear the gospel message, and because of the light of the world that Jesus came, all of a sudden that life that was dark, that life that was in despair, all of a sudden it's changed into a glorious life that's filled with hope. Why? Because of the light of the gospel. Because of the light, Jesus is the hope and the light of the world. Again, the Bible says in verse number 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Watch this. He said the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And notice the light is a descriptive term, is capitalized, and it is a descriptive term. Again, that all men through him might believe that he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that lighteth into or cometh into the world. When we begin to look at the scripture, we begin to see, again, in the book of Matthew, I don't even remember if I wrote this down, but again, my mind goes to it very, very quickly, because he teaches us in the scripture. I think it's in Matthew chapter number 6. And he begins to remind us again of how that Jesus is the light, and that light needs to be in you, and that light needs to be in you and I this evening. And John describes that, and he teaches that in the world. Maybe it's in Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing but to be trodden, cast out and trodden under the foot of men." Look what he says in verse number 14. Just as much as John was a witness for that light, you and I today, we are supposed to be witnesses of that light, even in the day and the hour that we're living in. Men are here in the world today. Men are walking in darkness. Men, women, boys, and girls are struggling in the darkness today. They don't know which way to go. They don't know which way to turn. And I'm going to be honest with you. Too many people of the church that name the name of Jesus Christ are acting and looking and being just like the world. And there seems to be no difference between what the world says and what the church is saying today. The thing that's going to make a difference is the light. The thing that's going to make a difference, not as I said this morning, not your pedigree, not your social status, not your economical status, but whether Jesus Christ is shining through you and whether those around you will really see Jesus shining in you. When Paul's life was changed, it was changed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the glory of God shone on Paul that day. And the glorious gospel shone on Paul that day. And Paul's life was transformed from Saul to Paul. And Paul left that place today saying, "What must I do? What is it that I must do for you?" And then he told him to go and to see Ananias. And Ananias would tell him what things he was to do. Later, Paul preached the gospel. It took the light. It took a revelation of the light. In our world today that we're living in, it's going to take more than politics. It's going to take more than what we're doing right now to change a world. It don't take a whole lot to figure it out. This world is in an absolute mess. But here's what I hear the Holy Ghost saying to me right now over this church and over your life. He said, "I did not come to make this world a mess. I came to bring you peace. I came to be the light of the world." Just because this world is in a mess, here's what I hear God saying. Your life don't have to be in a mess this evening, because I came to change your life from darkness into light. Walk in the light of the glorious gospel. And he says, "And I will lead you and I will show you the way to go." He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What light are we shining this evening? What is our testimony? What are we showing the world today from the church? When the world looks at the church, just not you sitting in front of me, or the few that may be watching online, but what is the church really telling the world right now? What are we doing in the midst of the greatest opportunities that we've ever had as the church to really shine and be the church that God would have us to be? If you and I are just like the world, I remember a sign that another pastor said one time that he looked at in a strange way. I don't know how the sign was written, but I know how he took it and I know how he shared it. There was a sign on the marquee outside the church. And he said, the sign said, "Come on in. You'll see that we're not that much different than you are." You can take that two different ways. First of all, everybody's welcome and you don't have to be threatened by the fact that you come here. You'll find that we're just people just like you. But he was preaching, and I would tell you his name, but I don't really want to do that right now. But he was preaching, and in the message that he was preaching, he was trying to make it simply this, that there's got to be a difference between us and the world. There's something very distinctively different between a child of God and a Christian. There's got to be something different. It's not your shoe size. Are y'all awake? It's not your shoe size. It's not your jacket size. It's a simple fact that your life has been filled with light. Your life has been taken
out of darkness and transformed everywhere you go, everywhere I go. We ought to be lighting the pathway and giving men, women, and boys and girls a hope today, a hope of heaven today. Oh, when the Bible lets us know that when John saw that city, when John was looking at that city, oh, what a difference it was. What a difference when John did that, because he said in there that Jesus was the light of the city. Oh, my friend, I ask you, is Jesus the light of your life today? Joanne, I thought a lot about you today. I thought about this song. Hopefully, again, we can do this one of these days about January. I thought about trying to solo this thing tonight, but I didn't want to do that. I just want to read you the words, a few words of this song. You probably already know where I'm going. Hey, can I tell you something, Joanne? I looked. I was back here a while ago. Raymond and Sherry thought the rapture had taken place and I had left. They was looking for me. I was back here listening to them the whole time. I was going to let them look for me. They were saying, I don't know. That light's on. I don't know if the pastor's back there. Hey, they knew something was going on because the light was on. Are you with me? People's going to know there's something going on because, and it's not Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. You know what I mean? But people's going to know if you're walking. And I'll get into that in a few minutes. This little song, but all I was going to tell you, I looked all over this notebook, Joanne, seriously. This is your notebook, I'm assuming. And I looked all over this thing and looked all the way through it. Tried to find the song and finally got back here. Look at this. The blue tag, that blue tag right there, was at the very song I was looking for. And I'm looking all over this notebook and I finally said, well, it was already tagged for you. All you got to do is turn to the tag. I thought that was ironic. That may not mean nothing to you, but it's like it's already in front of you, preacher. Just turn there. He says this song, I don't know, 1974, that's not real old. I was around in 74. It says, I hear the sound of the trumpet. You want to sing it with me? I hear the sound of the trumpet. I can hear it. I know it won't be long till the Lord will be coming for his own. No more trouble, no more pain will ever come again. As we sing praise to Jesus round the throne. And then the chorus, you know it. It says, we'll need no light in the city that John saw coming down, for Jesus will be there. His glory will abound. We'll need no light in the city of never-ending day. The Lamb of God will take the night away. I'm not going to read the other two verses of that. You will sing that maybe one day soon. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. When Jesus comes into a person's life, he takes the darkness out of their life. They're no longer walking in sin. They're no longer what me and Larry Johnson talks about. They're no longer a sinner saved by grace. Are you with me? Some people like to talk about that. When you get saved, guess what? You quit your sinning. We quit practicing. It becomes a thing of our former life. As we said this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, behold, all things become new. Old things are passed away. There's a difference between somebody that's ready for heaven and somebody that's not ready for heaven. And you know what it is? It's the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that's living in our heart. Let me bust through this really, 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 really fast today. Look in 1 John real fast with me. I promise I won't keep you but about an hour tonight and I'll let you go. 1 John, this is right back in Revelation. You just have to turn back a few pages. Look at this. This is what it says. 1 John, if you look at this, chapter number 1. Hold on. I have totally lost my place. Yeah, okay, here's what it says. He says in 1 John chapter 1, I had two places to go. He says in verse 5, he says, this then is the message which we have heard and declare, we have heard of him and declare unto you. Watch this. Say it with me. God is light. Say it again. God is light. Let me ask you this as we move forward. This is a very easy way to determine whether or not you're walking in a saved manner. are in the way of the gospel is if there's dark things in your life and dark things in your life going on. Here's the thing. I heard this said a long, long time ago, and I really liked it, so I'm going to repeat it again tonight. Integrity is what you do in front of people. Integrity is what you do in front of people. But character is what you do when you're by yourself. And I believe this evening that that is the difference between somebody that's walking in darkness and somebody that's walking in the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God is light. Again, what's going on the inside of us? Has Jesus shined His light in our hearts? Has He illuminated the inside of us? Has He taken the old man and transformed that old man that walked in darkness according to the course of this world, and He's transformed us into this total new person that He created us to be? Again, He says, that which I've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. Watch this. And in Him is no darkness at all. Wow. Let me just say this and move on forward, because I've read this scripture. People that are ready for heaven are people that are walking in the light. People that are ready for heaven are people who have renounced sin and renounced the hidden things of iniquity and the hidden things of sin. They're no longer walking after the course of this world, neither the lust of the flesh or the things of this world. We've severed our relationship with that old man. That old man has no longer got control over you. That old man no longer controls you. That old man no longer controls me. Now, I'm walking to a different beat. I'm walking on a different path. I'm walking on the path that Jesus is shining in front of me. Again, He says here in the Word that it gives us a description of God. Again, there is no darkness at all. One commentary said that there is absolutely no shadiness about God. There is no there's no shadiness about God at all. Look at verse number 6. And I know I've got to hurry through this. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the Bible says we lie. And the truth is not in us. And He says, and we do not the truth. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light. You say, preacher, do you walk on clouds every day? Oh, no. No. But every day I strive. Ask her, I strive. Just like you. I strive. The same person I am here is the same person I am at home. I strive every day. And Sherry does too. Are you perfect people? Absolutely not. How does it feel to live in a fishbowl? I don't look at it like that. Because you're in the same boat I'm in. I'm no different than you. The only thing that's different between me and you is I've got a call to preach the gospel on my life. But we're all called to be disciples. We're all called to be followers of Jesus. We're all called to walk in the light of the gospel as it shines upon our pathway. We're all called to forsake the former life and to walk away from sin and to be everything that Jesus wants us to be. And He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, watch this, cleanses us from all sin. Verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible says there in verse number 9, says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he said, if we walk in the light, here's the key. Here's the key. You and I are walking on a pathway. Either we're walking on the pathway that leads us into a continuing fellowship with God, or we're walking on the pathway that leads us away from God. Again, the Bible says in God there is no darkness in Him at all. The next scripture is in 1 John. Again, I'm moving this floor and it's aggravating me. 1 John chapter number 2. Okay, I run those scriptures together. That's what I did. Okay. It's okay if you get lost in your outline every now and then, preacher. But he says this in the Word as we look at this. Oh, okay. It's bad when you look at 1 John and John in the same place on your notes. That's what I was doing. It took me a minute. I'm going to turn to John, regular John. It's still John, but here's what I wanted to share for just a second. John chapter number 8. It took me a second there to figure this out. John chapter number 8. This is what Jesus is saying in verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Is that not good? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, but shall have the light of life. You say, well, why did you do all of that? Because when you look at this scripture, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Again, John, and I close that too fast. When you look in John chapter number 9 and verse number 5, Jesus says these words, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, let me tie this together by simply saying this. When you look at this, Jesus said in this latter verse of John chapter number 8, the scripture I just read to you, he says that again in verse number 12. This is what Jesus says there. And in this, and this is what I want to tie together. He says, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Darkness is often described as a place of hell. You know that, reading your scripture. Cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. You know, I thought about this. I thought about the simple fact that so many people today, so many people that you know and so many people that I know, they're absolutely just walking in darkness. I mean, here you are and here I am, here we are talking about America and how America is going seemingly deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness. And this is not a political thing. Have you noticed how much freedom we've had to preach the Word of God and Jesus Christ over the last several years? Have you noticed how that hopefully the church has taken the opportunity in a lot of ways to be open and unashamed about the preaching? And men still seemingly are going deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness. And again, John says this, and I read it to you in John chapter number 1, that men love darkness rather than light. But here's your hope, and here's my hope as a Christian. He says again, he says this again in verse number 12 in that latter part. He said, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have have the light of life.
Now, we're going to go back into Revelation, and I'll wrap it up here shortly. Revelation, I think it's chapter number 19, if I'm not mistaken. When you look in Revelation chapter 19, again, there is a whole lot going on in heaven. The Lamb of God is there in heaven. You and I will be in heaven. You and I will be worshiping around the throne of God. So there's three or four things I wanted to mention. First of all, Jesus is the light. We took a lot of time for that in heaven. So what's going on in heaven? I didn't get into a lot of this morning. So when we look at this, it's a place of worship unto God. When Jesus is there, He's going to illuminate heaven. I don't know about you, but what a day that will be when we see that, when we're able to be there. I remember the Crab family sung a song, and Jason and the family, it's a song that was very popular with them years ago, and the name of that particular song is, and it describes heaven, and it's a song that says, "Don't you want to go?" You can listen to that when you take time. Maybe I can post it tomorrow. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go to heaven? I mean, I'm looking at the church tonight, you know. I want to go to heaven. Don't you? I don't want people, when I pass away, whether it be in the air or by the grave, I don't want people to mourn and to weep and to cry and to fret over the fact that I've passed from death unto life, that I've left this old tent, I've left this old carcass behind. Sherry and I've talked extensively. Husbands and wives, you need to talk about this stuff. We've talked extensively about what would happen if one of us passed away and what to do and how to handle things and things of that nature. And several weeks ago, I was around a family, and I don't even remember who it was right now. I'll think about it later. And one of the individuals was not in the grade of health, and the other one said, "I just don't want to talk about stuff like that right now." And one of the things that you can do, one of the best things you can do for your spouse is to talk about stuff like that. Because it's a reality. But here's the thing. Kenny Henson, I think it's Kenny Henson, wrote the song. And one of the lyrics of that song was just, "Call me gone." We don't have to worry, folks. Are you with me tonight? You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry about the child of God that's gone on to glory. There's going to be a great, 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 great reunion one of these days. I believe that with everything within me. What a glorious time that's going to be. Revelation 19 gives us a description of the light of that city. That Jesus is there. There's no need for the sun. What's going to be going on in that city? Again, Revelation 19, it takes a lot to read all of this. But again, you can read it, and this is kind of really, really quick of what's going on in heaven. This is what John saw there. And he says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." It's like when Isaiah seen the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple in the year that King Uzziah died, and the seraphim and the cherubim, they flew around heaven, and they were crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Heaven's a place where there's going to be a great angelic choir, and they're going to be praising God. They're going to be magnifying God. They're going to be glorifying God. Again, as I talked about this morning, how beautiful heaven must be. What a glorious land that's going to be, my friend. Again, he describes that. And he says that in this there was a great voice in heaven, and it was crying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord." Again, that's one of the songs that we've sung, and one of the songs that,
that our choir has done in days gone by, and hopefully we'll do it again. Look in verse number 2. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Again, we don't have time to talk about all of that. Verse number 3 says, and again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Look at this in verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, Amen and Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard a great voice, and I heard a voice as it and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah. Say that with me. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, the church, hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he says, and he saith unto them, Right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage, the supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto them, These are the true sayings of God. Again, he falls there and he begins to worship the Lord. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this again, as I said this morning, how beautiful heaven must be, because it is a place that is filled with glory and honor and praise and hallelujahs and majesty and worship forever and forever and forever and forever unto God Almighty. Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. I remember you could preach like that in a church of God and they'd tear the shutters off the wall. We must not believe this no more. We must not just think that it's exciting anymore. We need to get excited about the fact that we're not going to hell. It's like one man said, it's not so much I'm excited about heaven. He said, I'm just glad I ain't going to hell. Fire insurance. Just enough to sort of get by the skin of your teeth. That's kind of not a real good perspective. I want to make it to heaven to see Jesus. I want to make it to heaven to see the glory and the splendor of what Jesus died for. What Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus went from Gethsemane by the kiss of Judas to the Roman soldiers, to where he carried the cross from Pilate's hall to Calvary, Golgotha. Friend, heaven cost him a lot. And here we are on this side thinking, Hallelujah, praise God, we're going to get to go to heaven one of these days. We're going to get to go have a party. No, my friend, it's going to be worship for all eternity unto God, while eternity rolls. So heaven's a place of worship. Again, we see that heaven is the place of the Lamb of God. Again, we see that in the fact that Jesus is the light of that city. I heard this and then I'm done. And I mean, I've got a few things, but I'll just let it go at that. I know that there's at least one person in this room that likes lighthouses. I would tell you his name's Jesse, but I don't want to embarrass him. I was reading over some notes and thinking about this. A lighthouse is there to safely guide the ships into the port, or to keep the ships from getting too close and hitting the shallow water and getting stuck on the rocks and etc. And you and I this evening, I thought about that. We've thought about the song, Jesus is the Lighthouse. I thank God for the lighthouse. I could go into that right now. Well, that was a Henson song too, wasn't it? Thank God for the lighthouse. And we think about that right now as we get ready to close. There's folks, you can read the whole latter part of Revelation 19, 20, 21, and you can see the glories of heaven. We talk about the old ship of Zion going to sail. Well, I don't know where that's really at in the Bible, the old ship of Zion or the old gospel ship. But I'm glad we have a light this evening shining and pointing you and I in the direction that we're to go. Just follow Him. Follow the light. I don't really mean that the way it sounds, but follow the light. Follow Jesus. And we will not walk in darkness at all. So when you think about this land where we're going, hey, Jesus is going to get us safely home. He's going to get us safe to that place. He's going to get us safe to this glorious, beautiful place. And you can read the rest of that in your own time. So in this text I read to you this evening, when John saw this, he saw this glorious land coming down out of heaven. He says that in the Word again, when you look at this in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, and the city had no need of the light. Why? Because Jesus is the light, but Jesus, the glory of Jesus, watch this, is shining brighter than the natural sun could ever think about it. That's why the Bible says that this natural man's going to be transformed to a supernatural situation I have not seen nor ear heard. He said, neither the sun nor the moon. One person said one time, the glory of the natural sun will be dim compared to the glory of Jesus Christ Himself. And then he says, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Wow. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved walk in the light. What does that mean? They walk in heaven. They're there. The nations of those that are saved, nations of people that's trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're there, every tribe. And he says, which are saved walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring the glory and the honor into it. Watch this. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. In other words, when I thought about that, I thought about how there's no evil in that city. There's no threat in that city. There's no danger in that city. There's no robbery in that city. There's no abuse in that city. There's no murder in that city. On and on I could go. And then he says, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Verse 27, he says this, and I'm done. And there shall be no wise enter into it. I think I heard a statistic the other day that said, very high statistic, like 85% of most people believe that when they die, like 85%, that they're going to go to heaven. 85%. Very high statistic. But I wonder this evening, out of those same people, very high statistic, how many people are actually living in the light and walking by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says this right here. He says that there shall be no wise anything enter into that city that defileth it. Can I tell you that the corruption of sin is not going to enter that city? I could go back into other stuff I'm not going to go into. Guess who's going to be there? Only those whose names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know that for a fact this evening? That your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you remember when it was done? Do you know when it was done? Can you point right back? As somebody said, that's how you know that you're saved, is when the devil bothers you, that you can always point him right back to the place that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I know when that happened in my life. I know where that transformation took place. Somebody said, well, I know I'm saved, but I don't really just remember when it happened. If I had that type of understanding of my salvation, I think I'd really do a lot of soul searching tonight and go back to that place. Go back to that place that you know your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, don't take any chances. Don't take a risk. It's not a think so or a hope so or maybe so. It's a know so. For those of you that's looking at me tonight, can you confirm that you know when that took place? You know for a fact, by fact, when that took place in your own life. He says there, Brenda said November the 4th, 1990. Where was you at? At the Thomasville Church of God. Amen. And he says that there's no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know that your name's been written down? Huh? Thank God for it. Now this is what you're to do. As he says in the Word of God, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. One person said this years ago, I think it was St. Francis of Assisi, I think that was the name, said, preach the gospel and only use words when necessary. What does that mean? That means to go out and be the light. Go out and be the difference in somebody's life. We're living in a very immoral, corrupt, harsh world. But again, here's what I heard the Lord say earlier when I started this message. Just because the world's falling apart, you don't have to. You and I, we don't have to. We can have peace in the midst of conflict. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I love you tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the word of the Lord that changes not. Your word is steadfast. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word shall never pass away. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your touch on my life. I thank you, Father God, that when we preach the word of God, that it don't fall on deaf ears, but God, it falls on different types of ground, that it would bring forth a harvest in due season. And Father, I pray, God, tonight that as this word of the Lord has went forth this evening, I pray, Father God, if anybody's listening to this that's not where they need to be with you, I pray, Father God, that this would be the day, this would be the night, this would be the time, that Father God, that they would say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all of my sins. Wash all my sins away, that I may be a candidate for my eternal home in heaven. And Father, we thank you. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And all the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Thank you again for being here this evening.